Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Bald is Life. I'm your host today, Jay Smooth. Are you excited? Because I am very excited. We have a great show today. Today we will be talking about the crazy and amazing game between Syracuse University and the University of Pittsburgh. So if you missed that game, I'll keep you updated, tell you what happened. Also, we will be talking about whether or not if Blake Griffin of the Los Angeles Clippers is a legitimate MVP candidate. He's been playing good, so I got my give you my insight on that. And also, this weekend is NBA All-Star Weekend, so we'll be talking about the Rising Stars game, the three-point contest, the dunk contest, and even the All-Star game. So, can't wait. I'm very excited. So let's start with our first segment and talk about the Syracuse and Pitt game. Wow, is all I got to say about that game. That game was crazy. It was amazing. It was had everything you wanted. It had excitement. It had sitting. You were sitting at the edge of your seat, biting your nails. It was just, it was crazy. Very, very crazy. The game, I'm pretty sure this game is the best college game so far of the year. It was just great. So Syracuse came into the game ranked number one in the country and had a record of 23-0, and they were going into Pittsburgh on the road, very hostile environment. Pittsburgh was ranked 25 in the country, I believe. So Syracuse was trailing Pitt 55-56 with 4.4 seconds left in the game. Freshman point guard Tyler Ennis of Syracuse took the inbound pass, dribbled up the court, and pulled up for the shot and hit the game-winning three. The game, it was, the stadium just went quiet. You should have seen Pitt's fans' faces, their team. They were just all in shock. They couldn't believe what happened. So it was priceless. That's what you live for as a player of basketball. You live to hit the game-winning shot on the other team's court, and just the reaction, that's just, like, to me, one of the best feelings in the world, just to see their face and everything. It was just great. But you can't put Pitt down. Pitt played a heck of a good game. Heck of a game. They were playing toe with toe with the best team in the country. Pitt almost beat Syracuse earlier in the year. They should have won in Syracuse, but they let that slip away, and then they let this game slip away. So it was a great game. Got to give props to Pitt. They did the best they could. They gotta keep their head up. So Pitt, if you're listening, keep your head up. You guys played a heck of a game. Gave it your all. So don't put your heads down. They'll be a threat in the national. In the March Madness tournament coming up in March. But let's talk about Pitt-Syracuse. Let's get back to Syracuse. Syracuse, they're great on both sides of the ball. They play great offense and great defense. They had their backs against the wall in this game, and they still came back, and they pulled it out. They played a great game. So Syracuse, they're undefeated right now, 24-0, 11-0 in the conference of the ACC. So they are undefeated right now. They are ranked number one in the country. And they got the best freshman player in America right now. They got the best freshman, and that's point guard Tyler Ennis. Tyler Ennis he's a beast. I have to say, he is the best freshman in the country. He's a beast. His stats don't show it, though, not that much. He's averaging 11.8 points per game, 5.7 assists per game, and then 3.3 rebounds a game. And you must be thinking, Smooth, how is this guy a beast if he has numbers like that? Listen, listeners, it's not about the numbers. It's about what the player can do on the court, get his teammates involved, and keep his teammates' composure up, not let them get down when they got not let them get down, put their heads down when they're down by, let's say, 5-10 points in the last 5 minutes of the game. You got to, as a leader, and especially the point guard is the leader of the team. He is the leader. So you got to, like, he's got to do his job and keep his teammates in the game. And that's what he did last night. They were down late in the game, and he told his teammates probably during timeout and say, we got this. We're the number one team in the country. We're undefeated, and we can do this. So don't worry about it. And that's what he did. He led his team to another victory. And also, he closed the game. Great players are always, usually, are always great closers. They are great closers. That's what Tyler Ennis is. He's a great closer. According to my stats, Tyler Ennis has been incredible in the clutch. In the last 5 minutes of the second half or in overtime in one possession games, he's scoring 1.94 points per play with 6 assists and no turnovers. That's far better than any of the other top freshmen, including Andrew Wiggins of Kentucky, Jabari Parker, and Julius Randle. And Tyler Ennis, he wasn't even in the focus. Everyone was always talking about Jabari Parker or Andrew Wiggins, who was going to be the number one pick. And Tyler Ennis has came to play, and he's been proving everyone wrong. Tyler Ennis is a closer, and great, like I said before, all great players are closers. Don't believe me? Let's name some of the players who are great players and who are great closers. For example, we got Michael Jordan, the best of all time. He's one of the best closers of all time as well. In the finals back when he was playing Utah, he hit that game winner and won his 6th NBA championship ring. Who else? Let's think. Kobe Bryant. Everyone knows Kobe Bryant. He's got 5 rings. Los Angeles Lakers. He's probably one of the best players of all time as well. And he's a future Hall of Famer. Magic Johnson, another Los Angeles Laker. He's a Hall of Famer as well. He was a great closer. He, against all those very, very, very intense physical matches against the Boston Celtics back in the 80s, before I was even thought of, he was a great closer, and he used to beat Larry Bird all the time. That's why he's considered one of the best point guards and one of the best players of all time, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer. Last player, LeBron James. Everyone saw, if you didn't see what LeBron did last night to Golden State, wow, he is a great closer. He started earlier when he was with Miami and Cleveland. LeBron wasn't a great closer, and that's what everyone was a doubt of. That's why they didn't want to consider him one of the best, because he never closed games. He always used to let his teammates close games or someone else close games, not him. He always used to pass. Like back when he was in the finals, I think 2010 against Dallas, and when Dallas beat him in the finals, LeBron disappeared in the fourth quarter. He disappeared. That's why everyone had the jokes like, oh, LeBron should play hockey because he only plays 3 periods, not 4. But now, LeBron, he shut up his critics because he is a great closer now, and he's considered one of the best players of all time. He's probably, people say he is the best of all time. I don't think so. I still got to go with Michael Jordan on that one. But LeBron, future Hall of Famer. He's a great closer. And he's a great closer. And the list goes on, but my point is great players are usually great closers. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I'm going to start putting Tyler Ennis in that category with Kobe, LeBron, Magic, Michael. I'm not doing all that. That's what I'm really not doing that. I'm just saying he has the potential to be a great player in the NBA because of his ability to close games. Like last night, his team was down. Team was down late. They were down 5. They were down 5 with 1:59 to go. And then all of a sudden, Syracuse won a 10-3 run. Made a close game. They took the lead for a while, but then Pitt took the lead. So it was 55-56, and then 4.4 seconds of late, they gave it a the man, Tyler Ennis, freshman point guard of Syracuse, and he hit the 35-foot buzzer beater to win the game. So you gotta give this guy his credit and his praise because he is one of the best players in the country, that in Tyler Ennis. And you gotta give him his credit. People didn't know about him in the start of the season. I didn't even know about him in the start of the season. And then I was been watching college basketball lately, and I've been watching ESPN, and they were giving this guy a lot of praise. For example, in ESPN's first mock draft, a mock draft is basically mock draft is experts from ESPN or from different sports companies, sports channels. They have these experts who recruit college players, or scout college players, I should say. And they scout the players, and then they put them where they should think they belong. So, like, if you're the best player, they put you as number one, and then that team, the NBA team, the worst team in the NBA, will take the best player available. So, basically, Tyler Ennis, according to ESPN's latest mock draft, they have Tyler Ennis going 8th overall to the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's a good fit because the Lakers do not have anyone. They do not have. I'm a Laker fan, and that's just, it's really sad. But that's a whole nother story about the Lakers because it's just bad. But anyway, I see it as a good fit because, first of all, the Lakers, they need players. They only got 6, 7, 8 healthy guys. That's sad. That's like a wreck team. I know, like a pickup game with more players than that. And second of all, the Lakers starting point guard right now, Steve Nash, he's the oldest player in the league. He's 40 years old. That's just, wow. 40 years old? That's like my dad playing for the Lakers. But anyway, the Lakers need someone, and Tyler Ennis is a great player. And I think the Lakers should take a chance on him if he is available. If neither of the first seven teams take Tyler Ennis, I'm pretty sure the Lakers need to take that guy because that's just, anyway. But back to what I was saying, Tyler Ennis, he is a beast, and you got to give him his props. He's clutch in the fourth quarter in the last 5 minutes or so. He's clutch. You got to give him his props. He's also a great, great team leader. He's a great team leader. If you didn't watch the game right now, he was, like I said before, getting his teammates, keeping his teammates' heads up, not letting them get down. So he's a great player that people need to be watching more from here on out because March Madness is coming up next month. And his team, he's the leader of the number one team in the country. They're undefeated. They're even underdogs. Syracuse is not getting a lot of respect from the media because they were underdogs last night in Pittsburgh in a hostile environment. But I see Syracuse as the favorites to win it all this year. They'll win the national championship in March because, first of all, they have a great team. Like I said, they have Tyler Ennis, who will be a big, 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 big factor from here on out and going down the road in March. Also, they play in the toughest league in college basketball in the country, in the ACC. They got to play. This is who Syracuse has to play every year. They got to play Virginia, who's ranked number 16 overall in the country. They have to play Duke, who's number 9, who's ranked number 9. And Duke, you know, Duke is Duke. Everyone knows who Duke is. They got to play Pittsburgh, who they just barely beat, who's also ranked 23 in the country. They also got to play UNC, North Carolina, the University of North Carolina. And even though the North Carolina ain't the same, they are same with the, even though North Carolina ain't what they used to be, they're still North Carolina, and they still can compete with anyone in the country. They also got to play, Syracuse is also going to play North Carolina State, who's great, who's good. Clemson, Maryland, Florida State, Wake Forest, and it goes on. Those are all great basketball schools. So Syracuse, to me, Syracuse is the favorite to win it all. There's my favorite to win it all. And you just, you got to keep on watching. Just watch Tyler Ennis from here on out because he'll be a big factor. He's going to try to lead his team to win the national championship. And he's trying to raise his stock up in the NBA draft because, you know, NBA the scouts are looking at him. He's a big, big prospect. ESPN has his stock going up. And they should because he is a great player. So just watch Tyler Ennis from here on out. And just great. Oh, also on the note of college basketball, come support our Dominican basketball team tonight as they play Notre Dame de Namur University tonight at 7:30. So come support our men's and women's who start at 5:30. And come support them here at Dominican University in the Conlin Gym. So come support our Dominican basketball team. Shout out to them. Hope they're going to do great. And we will be back after this.
Keep them. I don't want them. They pull me back and I surrender to the memories I run from. Oh, we have paved these streets with moments of ourselves will walk upon these streets and think of little else. So I won't show my face here anymore. I won't show my face here anymore. These streets are yours, you can keep them. In my mind, it's like you haunt them. And passing through, I think I see.
Welcome back to Bald is Life. It's your host, Jay Smoo. The next topic I want to talk about today is whether or not Los Angeles Clippers starting power forward Blake Griffin is a legitimate MVP candidate. And let me say this before I go any further in this topic. I'm a Laker fan. Lakers fans don't like Clipper fans. We do not like them back at home in Los Angeles. We do not like them. We don't like the Clippers because, honestly, we think all Clipper fans are bandwagoners, but that's a whole nother topic. So, not a big fan of the Clippers, and I'm not a big fan of Blake Griffin. Until I've been watching him this year and he's shown me what he's capable of, I was very skeptical of Blake, but what I've seen from him this so far, I'm impressed. He's impressed me a lot, to be honest. I thought he was just a guy that can just posterize people and just dunk on people, and that was it. That was just his whole game. He can just dunk, and that was it. And I also thought he was also soft. I didn't see him as a tough, tough big man for the NBA, because he used to get punked around a lot or a couple years ago back in the playoffs against the Grizzlies. But now he has stepped up his game this year. Even when their point guard Chris Paul went out, he stepped it up, put the team on his shoulders, and they still need Chris Paul, the Clippers. He didn't like make them even better without Chris Paul, but he kept them afloat, and he did better than what other people, they did better than what experts and media and what I thought they were going to do without Chris Paul. But he stepped his game up a lot. Stepped it up a lot this year. And I'm very, very impressed and surprised. And he's proved me wrong. He has proved me wrong. And I give him a round of applause for that, because I did not expect him to do what he was going to do. Let's see his stats from right now. He's an all-star. He's going to his fourth all-star game in his 4 years. So he's been to an all-star game every year he's played in the NBA. He's averaging 24.2 points per game, 9.8 rebounds per game, and 3.5 assists per game as a power forward in the NBA. His game last night, they played the Trailblazers last night. They played the Trailblazers last night, and he had an amazing game. He had a monster game, I should say. They beat the Trailblazers 122-117. Blake's stats, he had 36 points, 10 rebounds, and 1 assist. He was going against LaMarcus Aldridge, who is also another top power forward in the NBA. I think he's an all-star as well. Let me see here. Okay. So, yes, Blake has stepped his game up a lot this year, and I got to give him props, because I didn't see him as a top five power forward. Everyone was just talking about him because he was just posterizing Timothy Mozgov of the Knicks at that time, Gallinari of the Knicks at that time, Kendrick Perkins of that time. If you want to see his posterized dunks, just YouTube Blake Griffin dunks, and they'll have a whole 20-minute video of him just dunking on people. And that's what I all thought he really was just dunking on people. But he has stepped his game up this year, and I got to give him props. And then when Chris Paul was out, like I said before, with an injury, I really thought the Clippers were going to struggle. But Blake Griffin put the team on his shoulders and led them to a 12-6 record in Chris Paul's absence. And they were playing some good, good teams during that stretch. It's not like they were playing, I hate to say it, like the Lakers, but they were playing a good, good, good team. Also, Blake's defense has improved a lot since Doc Rivers showed up from Boston Celtics. Doc Rivers has inspired him to play some defense and be tough in the paint. Also, along with the center, DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan's the center for the Clippers. They played great together defensively and offensively. So Doc Rivers has a lot of credit for, not, I don't want to say a lot, but he has some credit for Blake's improvement. And also Blake Griffin, he has credit for his improvement as well. He's always working on his game. He's working with one of the trainers that he works with, Kevin Love, Chris Bosh, and James Harden. Those players are also top NBA superstars. So Blake's working on his game, so you got to give him credit for that. Yeah, but so Blake's defense has improved since Doc Rivers came from the Boston Celtics. He's much tougher, like I said, because back a couple years ago in the playoffs, they were playing the Memphis Grizzlies, and he was going against Zach Randolph, and Zach Randolph is one of the toughest players in the NBA. And Zach Randolph was making him look like a little boy, and Zach Randolph looked like a man just playing with a boy. He was just bullying him. Zach Randolph was bullying Blake Griffin a couple years ago, but Blake's much more physical, and he's much more physical in the paint, offensively and defensively. The one area, though, that Blake does need to improve on is his mid-range shot, because it's pretty bad. Let's see the stats here. He's shooting from like 10 to 15 feet. He's shooting an average of 32%. It's pretty bad. So he needs to work on that. If his mid-range shot can improve and he can start shooting like a Chris Bosh of the Miami Heat or a Kevin Love of the Minnesota Timberwolves, he will, I don't want to say be unstoppable, but he will be hard, very difficult to guard. Very, very difficult to guard. That's so he needs to, I put emphasis on the need, to improve his mid-range shot, because he's great in the post. He has good post moves. He can power through smaller power forwards, and he's also faster, and he has more agility than bigger power forwards or centers. So he's great in the post, great in the pick and roll, because you can just do a pick and roll, throw him a lob, or just give it to him, and he'll just demolish and dunk on somebody. So he needs to improve on his mid-range shot, because if he can shoot from, let's say, 10 to 15 feet from the basket, because if you watch the Clipper games now, when he gets the ball 10 to 15 feet from the basket, the defenders are giving him space, because they know he can't shoot. So they're giving, but once he does improve his shot and is consistent and improves to everybody in the NBA, to like scouts of teams and to players of teams, that he can shoot and consistently make the shot from 10 to 15 feet, they're going to have to come out and guard him, and then he can use his agility to get by people and just take it to the bucket and maybe get an and one. So yes, he needs to improve his mid-range shot from 10 to 15 feet. But if we can start putting him in the conversations with being as great in the MVP conversation with LeBron James of the Miami Heat and Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder, because he's proving that he can be in the conversation with these players. And right now, he is the best player in the Clippers. I know Chris Paul came back, and he's considered the best player on the Clippers, but right now, it's Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is lighting it up. He's being consistent on an every-night basis, and you can't deny it. I know we're up here in the Bay Area, so you got your Golden State fans and Golden State and the Warriors. And the Clippers do not have, they're not the best of friends. They have a very, very, they have some hate towards each other. But you can't deny how good Blake's been this year. He's going to be an all-star. He's put the Clippers on his back when Chris Paul was out, like I said before. And he's proving a lot of people wrong. Because everyone, like me, was saying that this guy, he's not versatile as other power forwards are. in the NBA, like a Kevin Love who can grab rebounds and also shoot threes from the outside, or like a Chris Bosh who can also shoot threes from the outside and play, and he can score other any other ways in the post. Blake Griffin was just, oh, throw a lob to him and he can dunk it. That's all he was until this year, when he's been proving that he can be a versatile power forward in the NBA, and he can also play with the best of them. So we got to give him credit for that. Because Blake is playing so well now, he's playing on a whole different other letter. He should be considered as a very legitimate MVP candidate. He should be. If not, if you don't say not, you're crazy, because he should be a legitimate MVP candidate right now with LeBron and Kevin Durant, and also, let's say, I think maybe James Harden from the Houston Rockets. But back to Blake, because he's playing so well, and if he keeps playing like this going after the All-Star break, which is this weekend, by the way, we'll talk about that later, but if he keeps on playing better than in the second half of the season and into the playoffs, the Clippers are a legitimate threat to win the NBA championship. They can come out here and beat in the West, beat a San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. They can beat a Oklahoma City team in the Western Conference Finals. And they even beat another team. They beat the Trailblazers last night. Trailblazers are the number two seed right now in the NBA. So, and the Clippers are just proved that they can beat the top teams in the West right now. So they are a legitimate threat to come out of the Western Conference and play in the NBA Finals coming in June. So just keep your eye on them and the Clippers and watch them, see how they evolve. See if Blake Griffin keeps on playing the way he's been playing this season. On another note, live broadcast, Dominican's Department of Political Science and International Studies and Penguin Radio presents Congress to Campus radio interview with radio interview and conversation with the former members of the United States Congress. So former representatives Frank Riggs and Brian Baird will spend Tuesday and Wednesday, February 25th and 26th, at Dominican, talking with students, attending classes, and participating in community forums focused on engaging youth in civic life. Your radio hosts for the Congress to Campus broadcast are DJ Noni, DJ Liberty, and DJ Littlefish. So tune in to Penguin Radio, February 26th, 11:15 a.m., and listen to that. I'm sure it will be great. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. We will be back right after this break.
Old man, trying to pave the way. it was sure enough a happy day, my Lord. How a happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, a happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed in the water. Oh, when he washed. Oh, when Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. When Lord washed. He washed my sins away.
Hey, this is Jay Smoove, and you're listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu, and we'll be back after another quick break. Welcome back to Bald is Life. I am Jay Smoove, your host today. I hope you've been enjoying my show, because I have. I hope you come back next Thursday from 12 to 1 and join me as I talk about basketball as well. Before we get into the NBA All-Star Weekend, which is this weekend in New Orleans, before we get into that, little quick Golden State Warrior news. Last night they played the Miami Heat, but ended up falling short. 111-110. LeBron James hit the game-winning three to stun the Golden State Warriors fans, and the Miami Heat pulled off the victory. That was a good game as well. I was watching it while I was doing my homework, or should have been doing my homework, but I was watching the Golden State-Miami game because I know that's a big game. LeBron, he put on a show. He was the MVP of the game. He put in a strong case, and he showed why everyone he is the best player in the league right now. He had 36 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. So all around, he was flirting with the triple-double. But on the Golden State side, Steph Curry had 29 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and steal. He also played well. He hit the go-ahead. He hit the basket, and he got the foul. Before LeBron came down after that and then hit the three to win the game. But both of them are all-stars, and both of them will be playing in the NBA All-Star game on Sunday. So let's start talking about that. The NBA All-Star Weekend in New Orleans. It is this weekend. It starts tomorrow, actually, with the celebrity game, the Sprite celebrity game. So if you want to watch Kevin Hart or Justin Bieber or any of the old NBA legends play, see who they have this year, you'll be able to see that Friday. And then also Friday is the BBVA Compass Rising Stars Challenge. That's where they get 10. No, do they get 10? Yeah, they get 10 people, 10 players who have played 2 years or less in the NBA. No, who have played a year or are rookies in the NBA. And two former players have a draft, and they draft the 20. They draft 20 players and choose their teams. So that is Friday. So then they play against each other, and it's just another fun activity and event for NBA All-Star Weekend. So that should be fun. Then we can head down to Saturday, February 15th. All-Star Weekend, there's the NBA D-League All-Star Game. So basically, for you baseball fans out there, that's the D-League is like the minor leagues for the NBA. So they get all the like D-League players that are not good enough to play in the on the official the NBA, but they play in like the minor leagues, so the D-League. So they have their own All-Star Game. That is Saturday, February 15th. Also 15th is the State Farm All-Star Saturday Night. So you got the Sears Shooting Stars Contest. They shoot like from different areas of the court. And so they shoot from different areas of the court. And then the team that does it the fastest wins money for the charity of their choice. They also got the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. Let's talk about that for a second. Taco Bell Skills Challenge, basically, in this, they get a whole bunch of guards or players, and they do like a skills. They like dribble around obstacles. They have to do chest passes, and they got to do it like in a specific area. And it's got to go, they have like a target, and it's got to go through the target. They also got to do bounce passes and do the target. What else? So, the player that will be participating in that challenge will be, there's team one, you got DeMar DeRozan from the Toronto Raptors, and then you got Michael Carter Williams from the Philadelphia 76ers, and then Victor Oladipo from the Orlando Magic, who will be participating in that. And also you've got Trey Burke from the Utah Jazz, Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers, and then you've got Goran Dragic of the Phoenix Suns and Reggie Jackson of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That should be exciting. Those are all great young guards in the NBA. But expect Damian Lillard to pull that one out, because he is one of the best young point guards in the NBA right now. And he's actually competing in all five events of the of All-Star Weekend. He's competing in the Rising Stars Challenge game. So he'll be playing in that game on Friday night. And then Saturday, he will be in the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. And then he will also be in the Foot Locker 3-point contest. And he will be in the Sprit Slam Dunk contest. And then on Sunday, he will be playing in the NBA All-Star game. So it's going to be a busy weekend for Mr. Damian Lillard. So let's talk about now the Footlocker 3-point contest. Let's see who are the participants in this. You got from the Orlando Magic, Aaron Aflalo, Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards, Kyrie Irving from the Cleveland Cavaliers. You got Joe Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets. You got Marco Bellinelli from the San Antonio Spurs, Stephen Curry from the home team, the Golden State Warriors, Damian Lillard, like I said before, he's competing in all five events this weekend. So from Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers, and then Kevin Love from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Kevin Love is the only power forward, or big man, I should say, that is competing in the three-point contest. He's just that great of a player. He can shoot from the outside. So I probably have to go with Stephen Curry on this one to win it all in the three-point contest, because he can shoot from anywhere from the court, and it's, you got to guard him from anywhere. It doesn't matter if he's at half court, his own free throw line, his bench. It doesn't matter. This guy, he can shoot. So that should be exciting, and that should be fun to watch. And then, of course, everyone tunes in NBA All-Star Weekend for one, and that's the dunk contest. And yes, the dunk contest has been, the last couple of years has been kind of boring, and it's been kind of weak, and I haven't really enjoyed it as much as I used to when, you know, Nate Robinson used to compete in it. Dwight Howard used to compete in it way, way back in the day when Vince Carter was young and he used to compete in it. I remember when Kobe was, when he was in his first years in the league, he competed in it. So the last couple of years, it's been kind of weak. The best one, I should say, the last good one was maybe when Blake Griffin won it. But that was all right. Everyone knew Blake Griffin was going to win. It was, the All-Star Game was in Los Angeles at that time, and he was the young rookie just dunking on everybody. But I'm pretty excited for this one, because there's a lot of people that are good enough to attract a big crowd, big crowd to the game, to the slam dunk competition, I should say. Even though the dunk competition does get a lot of attention, there's a large audience for it, but a lot of people didn't like it because there was a lot of no names the last couple of years. But this year, there's a lot of people that are popular that you should know. So there's Terrence Ross, the last year's champion from the Toronto Raptors. There's Paul George. He's another great player, another MVP candidate you guys should watch, from the Indiana Pacers. There's John Wall. Everyone knows John Wall from the Washington Wizards. He played at Kentucky when he was in college. So he's been on everyone. He's been on the basketball radar for a while now. There's Harrison Barnes from the Golden State Warriors. So I know there's going to be a lot of, everyone up here is going to tune in to watch Harrison Barnes compete in the dunk competition. And then you've got Damian Lillard. Like, again, he's in the dunk competition in a while, from the Portland Trailblazers. And then Ben McLemore from the Sacramento Kings. Also another hometown team up here. Not a lot, but it's a hometown team. This should be very, very interesting. It should be good. So tune in to TNT to see all the NBA activities before the game, which is on Sunday, which we'll talk about right now in a bit. So let's talk about that. I expect, for the dunk competition, before we move on, I expect Paul George to win. Paul George did that nice 360 against the Clippers a couple weeks ago. He had that great dunk, so you should tune in and watch the game. So let's get to the All-Star Game. The All-Star Game is Sunday, February 16th. The starters. Let's see, the starters. Okay, the starters of the West for the All-Stars: Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, and Steph Curry. And it was Kobe Bryant was named an NBA All-Star starter, but because he is injured, he will not be playing. So let's see who he was. He was replaced by, I think he was replaced by, let's see. I think he was replaced by Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans. Yes, he was replaced by the hometown Anthony Davis because the game is in New Orleans. So he was replaced by Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans. So, yep, that's the West. And then the East starters are Carmelo Anthony of the New York Knicks, Paul George of the Indiana Pacers, Kyrie Irving of the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James of the Miami Heat, and then Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat. But there's reports out saying Dwayne Wade saying he might not play an All-Star game because he's a little injured, a little banged up, so he wants to be healthy for the final stretch before the playoffs, so he might not play. Then the reserves. See who the reserves were coming off the bench, the All-Stars. I'm pretty sure Dirk Nowitzki was a reserve for the West. So, let's see. Yeah. So, the West, they've got the reserves. Chris Paul of the Clippers. Tony Parker of San Antonio. Dirk Nowitzki of Dallas. The Dallas Mavericks. Kevin Love of the Minnesota Timberwolves. James Harden of the Houston Rockets. Dwight Howard of the Houston Rockets. Damian Lillard of the Portland Trail Blazers. So those are the reserves for the West. The reserves for the East. The reserves for the East are John Wall of Washington Wizards. Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls. Paul Millsap of the Atlanta Hawks. Joe Johnson of the Brooklyn Nets. So those are the reserves for them. Oh, DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. Roy Hibbert of the Indiana Pacers. Kyrie Irving. I think he starts. But yeah, so it should be a great game. Tune in. I think it was on TNT. Sunday, February 16th for the All-Star game. It should be great. It's always exciting. It's always high scoring. A lot of drama. At first, you notice, the players, they don't take it seriously. But when it's the fourth quarter, the last 5 minutes, they start everyone stepping their game up, and then they want to win, they don't want to lose. So it should be very, very exciting. I'm gonna tune in and watch it. You guys should tune in and watch it. It's gonna be very exciting. So again, Friday, tomorrow, it's the Celebrity All-Star game, then the Rising Stars game. Saturday, you've got the NBA D-League All-Star game. All-Star game. Then you've got the dunk competition on Saturday night, the three-point competition on Saturday night, the skills challenge on Saturday night, and you've also got the shooting for the stars on Saturday night. And then Sunday, you've got the NBA All-Star game, which should be very, very, very exciting. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in and listening to my show, Bald is Life. Here, I am your host, Jay Smoove. Thank you again for tuning in. This is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. And please join me again Thursday, same time, 12 to 1. And I will talk about the other hot topic stories here again. But thank you again from Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. This is Jay Smoove, and I'll see you next Thursday.
People laughing, living lives we used to lead. Jay.